Maybe you're looking for a sermon this morning that has to do with Halloween. But that's not so this morning. The sermon we want to look at this morning is Love Not the World. And I'd like for you to get your green hymnal and look at 115. Maybe Brother Merle would sing the first verse of that. And I want you to take notice to the words of this hymn. 115 in the green hymnal.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore.
Appreciate our brother's prayer on our every behalf this morning. And I trust that we will think a little deeper about our life here on earth. Our brother, I had him read this back in Genesis chapter 6, because the world was pretty wicked back then. The Lord even repented that he made man. And he said he's going to destroy them. Destroy the whole world. But there was one that was righteous. Noah. I'd like to go back to Revelation chapter 20. I'd like you to turn with me there. It's going to be the same thing in the near future, we believe. The Lord's going to come and gather his own. He's going to say it's enough. Chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not going to destroy the earth with water, but we believe he's going to destroy the earth with fire. The year was 1912. The ship was huge, over 850 feet long. The huge ship named Titanic was the pride of man's work. We are told even that the people that built that ship said that it was impossible for even God. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but we hear that it was impossible for God to sink that ship. But they did take great pride in their work. The ship was out on its first voyage on a nice, calm day, and all was well. But they saw some icebergs floating by. But they weren't concerned in that ship because it was unsinkable. But during the night, an iceberg slit the side of that ship. And it sank. The wisdom of their work failed. The ship started to fill with water. Lifeboats were put out. But the people refused to believe that the ship would sink. Many would not get on the lifeboats, and these small lifeboats had to leave the sinking ship, or the suction of the sinking Titanic would draw them down with it. You know, the ship and its builders are just like people are today. The builders are creating a world of luxury and ease. In our prosperity, we forget the great danger that our souls are in, or we just ignore the dangers and think that we're secure. Let us escape this world of confusion before it's too late. Let's get as far away from it as we can. So that we're not sucked down into it, this empty world. What do you mean? You feel like you don't belong here? Do you ever get that feeling? The hymn writer says here in that hymn we just sang, and that was Albert Bromley, a man that wrote quite a few hymns, and I just want to mention a couple of them. I believe he was a real sincere brother in the Lord, and he said, he wrote these songs, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I'll meet you in the morning." And then the song we sang, "This world is not my home." You've heard it often said, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And that's just exactly the way I feel this morning. We're in this world, but we're not of it. I like to have a volunteer. I have 2 pennies here in my pocket, and I like to have a volunteer to come up and tell me the difference in these 2 pennies. It could be a boy or a girl. But anybody come up, and you're going to be rewarded for it if you do. Not with just 2 pennies either. Okay, here we got one. Good. I have 2 pennies. Now, I know you can't see these pennies, so that's why I have this board. Can you tell me the difference between these 2 pennies? Tell it right under the mic there.
One's shiny and one's dull.
One's shiny and one's dull. That's all I need you for. And that's your reward. Is that all right?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. One's shiny and one's dull. Now this penny that's dull, it didn't get that way overnight. It went through a lot of hands first. You understand that? This shiny penny wasn't used much yet, but this penny is really dull. And it took a long time for that shiny penny to become like this one. It didn't just happen overnight. And that's, I believe, the way it is with us to become more like the world. It happens little by little. You know, there's even a scripture that says, it's in Proverbs, that the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, I know with many meanings, one meaning I want to take out of this is that it's hard for a Christian to go back to the world. It's not an easy thing. It's gradual. It's a gradual thing. Just like that penny, that it took a long time for it to get that dull look to it. You know, we came out of the world by faith. The Bible says, this is not what I'm saying, it's what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, who will finish it? The love of the Father is not in him. That's what the Bible says. Love is a key passage in the scripture. Do not fall in love with the pleasures of this world offers. If you do, then the love of the Father. That's the scripture. It's not in. What is the world? What is the world? Is it the world of nature that we see around us, that we love to see the fall colors, the spring bursting forth? Is it that? Or is it the things that man has made, like machinery, literature? And I even put in here clothing material. Or is this is the one that I feel that he's speaking of here when he talks of the world. The world is the spirit of our age, or the present world system. This includes the social, ethical, moral standards and principles of an unsaved society. Does it have to do with ideals, desires, objectives that motivate man? I believe it does. And I believe that this is what the world is, and what the Bible's talking about the world. We can enjoy the world, the earth, all the things around us. God created it. But yet, he says we're not to love the world. That doesn't mean, and I'll get to that a little bit later, that we need to go out of the world. We're in the world. But there are seven things that will help us to understand the world. Number one, the world has a God whose name is Satan. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. Number, for 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Another version says it is under Satan's power and control. Number two, the world is in darkness. John 12:46. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Our brother made mention of the light, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. We already shine as lights in a dark place. Number three, the world is evil. In Galatians 1:4, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. In other words, the world is corrupt, and it makes people victims of sin who follow its program of worldliness. Number four, this world hates Christ. Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15:18. And five, it is a stranger to God. Jesus said, when praying, O righteous Father, the world hath not known you. John 17:25. Therefore, it is obvious that the world could never help us to find God or to live a holy life. Number six, it'll lead us to spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1-2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, these six facts about our world. Now, the source of worldliness explains why the Bible says, if any person loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. J. Wilbur Chapman describes worldliness as anything that dims my vision of Christ, or that takes away my taste for Bible study, or hinders my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult. And I'd like to add to that list whatever hinders my Christian walk. A person who does not enjoy the fellowship of God's people, but feels more at home with those who are following carnal and selfish pursuits, is worldly. That's a quote. When one is ashamed of Christ and his church, he tries to hide his or her spiritual identity. But Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful generation, adulterous and sinful generation, also Jesus is going to be ashamed." Think of that. If I'm ashamed of Jesus now, he's going to be ashamed of me. Mark 8:38. Am I worldly? Are you worldly? Let's try this test. Am I ashamed of Christ? Am I following the fashions and the spirit of this world to hide my identity as a Christian? Do I feel more at home in the world than in the church? Am I more enthusiastic about the latest fads than what pleases my Savior? Am I living for myself instead of God? A man asked D.L. Moody one day, as I read, I suppose it's true, the man had asked him, "Now that I've committed my life to Christ, I become a Christian, must I give up the world?" No, replied D.L. Moody. "If you give a ringing testimony for the Son of God, the world will give you up pretty quickly. They won't want you around. We are God's temple, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." What's the cure for worldliness? Give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind that he can accept. When we think of what he has done for us, do you think that's asking too much? Don't copy the fashions and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that we do and think. In the baptismal waters, you know, we made some pretty strong promises. If you have that, I'd like for you to get the directory and look at those. They're called covenants. They're called covenants. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he brought from heaven a saving gospel? Do you willingly renounce Satan with all his pernicious ways and all the sinful pleasures of the world? Do you covenant with God in Christ Jesus to be faithful unto death? Be serious. We made there some pretty strong promises. And I wonder sometimes if that's fresh in our mind. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Now the dictionary meaning of conformed is to come to have the same form or character, to comply, to act in accordance with the current customs. Conformed is not my word. It comes from the Bible. I guess maybe I am more worldly than I thought. How about you? Without fear of challenge, Jesus could say, "I am the light of the world." John 8:12. He could well be the light. But then in Matthew 5:14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." He doesn't say, "You ought to be the light of the world," or maybe you could be, but he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Am I letting it shine for all the world to see, or am I hiding it? Another scripture that we refer to quite often is the next part of Romans 12. But someone has said, one of the versions says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." Now the time has passed when we need to go out into the world and make contact with it. You know, today the world comes to us. There is a force which is captivating us. Have you ever felt the power of the world as today? Have you? Have you ever heard so much talk about money and power and lust? Wherever you go, the things of the world are the topics of conversation. The world has advanced to the very door of the church and is seeking to draw out the saints of God into its grasp. How watchful we need to be in these last days, lest our brother prayed almost the same words I'm going to use here. Lest we be found helping Satan in his construction of his ill-fated kingdom. He's going to be put down. So why do we want to follow him? Why would we partake of Halloween even? First John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." In other words, we need to use this world to buy gas and groceries and electric and fuel. Yeah, we have to use the world for some of these things. But let's not do more in this world than we must. 1 Corinthians 6:17-18 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them." Who is the them? "And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Well, someone is probably asking, well, how then can we reach the lost? If we're not supposed to be partakers in the world, why? How can we win the lost? Well, listen, certainly not by becoming like them. That's not one way to win the lost. We need to be a sweet-smelling savor unto them. Yes, the Bible says we are to go into all the world and preach and teach in Matthew 28. But we also need to keep in mind that we are in the world, but we are not of it. We are not our own. We have been redeemed. And while we sing "Jesus paid it all," let's remember the next phrase, "All to him I owe." all to him I owe. Certain divine requirements go out a being bought with a price. Such love demands my life, my soul, my life, my all. We are to glorify God in our body and our spirits. We are to give ourselves because we belong to him. We want to look at three S's here, and ourselves is one of them. And we are to glorify God in our service. We are bought with a price, but be not ye the servants of men, but the servants of God. 1 Corinthians 7:23. And Peter tells us that since we have been redeemed, then we should pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. 1 Peter 1:17 through 21. And in closing, I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I say this morning to each one of us, may God help us to not love the world, but to love our Savior more. The one who gave his life for you and me.